Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, Shelley spoke last week, but before that, we were talking about what it means to believe with the heart. What it means to believe with the heart. We're gonna keep going on that for a while. Why don't we turn over to Romans 10? We'll start there. This is kind of our text. Romans 10 and Mark 11. Romans 10, verse 8, and Mark 11, verse 23. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Everybody there? Romans 10, verse 8 says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So he says there, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And like we touched on, that's how we get born again. We heard the word of God, faith came into our heart, and we acted on it. And that's important, because even though faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, if we don't act on it and step out in faith, nothing will happen. It's that people hear the gospel all the time. The word of God is preached to them, and faith comes because God's word said it would. Faith is there. But even though it's there, it can be right there, and you stuff it. People do it all the time. They stuff it, and they say, no, I'm not going to believe. Because man has a will, and we will to believe. And so many people are looking for a feeling to believe. When the faith is there, it's not, I feel it this time. I feel like I'm in faith, so now I believe. No, faith is there in our heart. And that's what we've been focusing, in our heart. It's not in our head. It's not in our big toe. That's not being sacrilegious. It's not in our physical body. It's not in our physical heart organ. It's in the spiritual man, the real us. But faith can be there, and we still need to act on it. We still need to do something. Verse 10 says, with the heart one believes. We're talking about what it means to believe with the heart. And this is critical because faith is tied up on this. If we think it's something in our head, we think it's a feeling, if we think it's emotion, then we won't know when we're in faith, when we're not in faith, how to stay in faith, how to get the answer that we need from God. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's go over to Mark 11, verse 23. Actually, verse 22 we'll read. It says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God." Verse 23 says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Said, whoever. So that include us. We're whoever. He didn't say me. Jesus didn't say if I say. He said whoever. He didn't just say it to those disciples standing before him. He said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes. Where is he believing? Does not doubt in his heart. Where is he believing? We read in Romans 10:10 that it's with the heart man believes. So it's, but believes in his heart. that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Whatever he says. So our heart is critical. He didn't say if you believe in your head and you have it all figured out, or if your body is just turning somersaults, or if you see how everything could line up with your physical senses, then you're in faith and then it'll come to pass. That's not what he said. He said if we'll say to the mountain, we're not going to get into that tonight, but that's a component. If we'll say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and do not doubt in our heart. He's not talking about your head. And we talked about this a little. That's critical. Because you can have doubts in your head and faith in your heart, and it'll still work. And this is what trips up people, is because there's things that come against your head, or you don't see everything lining up with your physical senses, and then you're tempted to doubt. You're tempted to say, I don't see how this could ever happen. Well, just because that thought crosses your mind doesn't mean that you're not believing with your heart. It's what we do with those thoughts. We need to cast them down and say, no, but God's word says. And if faith's in your heart and you're believing with your heart, that's the inner man. That's what gets the job done. And we just cast off what is going on in our head and just stick with God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, let's go over to Luke. Let's go over to Luke 16. We're going to spend a little bit more time just establishing this. Just go over a few more scriptures about this inner man. Because we need to know that there is an inner man and get that really real to us, that it's not with our outward body or a mind, that it's with this inner person, because we're bombarded every day basically with things that tell us this is all there is. You know, your job, your bank account, your body will tell you different things. The news will tell you all kinds of things. And this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And it's all concerned with what we can see and taste and feel, hear, and how our emotions are affected and what we can figure out. And it really doesn't deal a lot with our spirit, if at all. We're not talking, we don't talk about spiritual health. We hear a whole bunch about what you put into your body. Whole bunch. I mean, and that changes every 10 years. What was good for you 10 years ago is no longer good for you. And then it flips back the other way. And so we're told what we should eat, what we shouldn't eat. We're told, you know, what we should. We don't really told what we should think on, but we're bombarded with fear and doubt and what's going to happen tomorrow, whether it be the weather forecast, how many, you know, inches of snow we're going to get, or what's the economy going to do? The stock market's up. No, it's down. No, it's going to collapse next year and everything's going to be ruined. That all deals with the soulless realm. It deals with our body, but it does not deal with our heart. And that's the main part of us, because when we die, our spirit is going to still be alive. Our body's going into the ground. So anything you did to keep it alive, we should take care of our bodies, because it's the temple of God, because we're in there and he's in us.
So
the temple of the Holy Spirit, because of, you know, we live in there, but it's only because we live in there and we ought to take care of it. But whatever we do to keep our body right is only going to last so long. I don't care how well you do, eventually it's going in the ground. Even if it's 125 years, and that's pretty long by today's standards, it's still going into the ground. But we hear tons and tons about our bodies and what we should and should not do. And what we should think on, and a lot of that's wrong. Because if you think on the things that other people are thinking of, you're just going to be just as depressed as they are. And full of fear, and full of worry, and full of rage. When you're coming home in the parking, you know, and the Interstate 93 or 95 looks like a parking lot, and people are just not happy. Listening to stuff on the radio and they're not happy. If we fill our minds with that, we're not going to be happy if we yield to it. But there is the component that is going to live forever, and our soul will be with us. We'll have our personality and everything. But our real person on the inside is our spirit man. And we're not told in the natural, in the world, really what to do with that at all. You can go through an exercise regimen 2 hours a day, but people totally neglect their spirit man. And if we're not careful, we can do the same thing. We feed our body three good meals a day, three hot, like Smith Wigglesworth said, three hot meals a day, and one cold snack on Sunday mornings for our spirit. We'll feed our body throughout the week. And he used to after every meal, he'd pull out, he said, well, we fed the body, and he pulled out his testament and start reading a little bit from the Bible and say, now we're going to feed our inner man. Because that's what the word is. It's faith food. It's food for our spirit. And so people neglect their spirit man. Neglect the very core of who we are. We got to be careful who we take advice from. I'm not saying there's truth to what people are saying in the natural. I'm not saying we throw out natural wisdom at all. But we have to be careful who we're taking advice from. We ought to, when we listen to things, we ought to check inside and say, does that apply to me? Is that what I should do? You know, you hear financially, people tell you what to do and not do with your money. And they may or may not be right. But I want to ask you a question. How many of those people tell you what God's word says about what you should do with your money? So how many of the people that are telling you what to do with your money also said, and you should give tithes and offerings like the word says? They tell you what to do. But ask yourself this question. When that person, you know, on the financial network is telling you what to do with his money, is he also telling you, oh, by the way, you ought to give at least 10% to God, and that's God's investment plan, and that's what he set up? If they're not, so my point is, if they're not telling us what the word says, but we're taking the rest of it like gospel, and Christians will do this. Oh, he's right. But that person is not, they're saying save this and save that, but they won't do what the word says. We got to be careful when we're listening to the world about how to do certain things, whether it's our relationships, whether it's our body. I'm telling you, with your body, be led by the Holy Spirit. We all have different makeups. We all have different chemistry. What works for one person, there's general guidelines, but if the Holy Spirit's prompting you, don't eat that. Don't do it. Lay off that. Do it. He knows us. There was a, and this is not our topic, but we're just going to go with the Holy Spirit. There was a guy in, heard an account. He was down on a missions trip or something down in, don't remember where it was, but it was hot and they were doing a lot of stuff. You know something about that? You just keep going and going. And he was getting tired and his body was getting worn out. And he was like, and he was trying to stand for healing and believe for healing. And he was like, God, what's going on here? He was before God and said, you know, he's just getting weaker and weaker. And the Lord, he just, you know, not, he didn't hear an audible voice, but, you know, just like the Spirit of God just quickened something to you, and you don't have to hear words. I mean, God can show you something like that that takes you, you know, an hour or a day to just get the full revelation of it. It's just bubbling up out of your spirit. But God just told him, add a little bit more salt to your food when you're eating. He was in a foreign country. He's like, what? No, I need healing. I don't, what's this about salt? But that's what he really felt like God told him, so he started doing it. Next meal, add a little bit more salt to his food. And he began to feel stronger, and he kept doing that. Just a matter of time, he was feeling strong. Well, God knew what was going on in his body. Something was out of whack. Something. I mean, that's all we are, is one big chemical reaction. Over and over. I mean, anything we ate, everything that goes in, it just reacts, and then something happens, and then we, you know, make energy or something out of it over and over. God knows that. Best chemist that ever lived. I mean, he knows all. He knows, he engineered this thing. He knows what to do. We ought to listen to him. So he knows what's going on. Do you find your place in Luke? Luke 16, verse 19. This is an account of a rich man and Lazarus. Verse 19 says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was when that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried. Now, what part of him was buried? His body. Both of them, right? They're in the ground. They both died. That's what happens, usually, is that people have a funeral and they get buried and go back into the ground. Verse 23, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes. Notice that. Now his body's where? In the ground, right? Now what did he lift up? His eyes. And saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Now, where's his body? It's in the ground, right? So this is not his physical body. But evidently, he has eyes, tongue, finger. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things, but now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to him, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Now I want you to notice a couple things. The man called and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. He recognized Lazarus. He recognized Abraham. So you can evidently recognize people, and we've heard accounts, in heaven. You do recognize. You're not going to all of a sudden be completely different in heaven. We're going to recognize each other, and we're who we are. We still have our personality. Notice this exchange that they're going back and forth. He says, in this life or in the life before, you had this and that. Well, he remembers. His memory's intact. Now, we have a physical brain, but that's our soul and our personality transcends that. This is like the equipment that we operate through. You know, my car, you see a lot of this. I have my cell phone that I can operate anywhere, but when I get into my car, it can sync up with my cell phone and I can make calls through my car. Now, my car is not my phone. It doesn't have the capability of transmitting anything, but it can connect with my phone and it can make phone calls and it has a microphone and I can speak, you know, just when I'm driving and talk to somebody, but my car is not the one talking. Transmitting and the equipment to receive and transmit, it's my phone. My phone's just using the car. Well, our memory and everything, we're going to have that when our physical brain is gone. So even though we have memory and all that, this is still a machine. And so no matter what's going on, some people, that you know, not that they can't be healed, but they have problems with their mind. It doesn't work right. Inside, their mind, the part that's going to go on, their personality and everything, that's intact. It's just that their equipment's messed up out here. The same thing with your physical body or whatever. But we can be healed of all that. God's promised us health and wholeness and healing. But I want you to notice that they had bodies. They weren't natural bodies. And they recognized each other. And they had what we would call the soul, mind, will, emotions, personality. In other words, you're going to be you when you step out of your body. you're going to know. You're going to know people. You're going to remember things. But the real person in there is the one, the spirit. There is a spirit man that's going to live on when our body goes into the ground. And that's who we believe God with. And if we get, this is why we're going over this and going over it in detail, because if we get this down, we'll realize that when we're believing God, if this body is being pushed around or our mind is being pushed around, it doesn't change the fact that our inner man can believe God, and that's who we take a hold with. And if we believe, regardless of what we see, that's when we're in faith, because we're believing it in spite of what we see. But we want to establish this fact, that there is an inner man, there is an outer man. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 5. This is one of the greatest truths we can know. Apart from getting born again, to know that there's and being filled with the Holy Spirit, to know that there's a spirit, soul, and body, that we're a three-part man, this is one of the greatest truths that we can really get a hold of. Because if we'll get a hold of this, we'll realize what's going on a lot of times when we walk through the challenges of life. That if our head's being hit with something, well, I don't have to listen to that. Thoughts can hit your head. Things can hit your body. I don't have to listen to that. I can still believe God. Yeah, but I'm hurting. Yeah, but my mind's going, it doesn't matter. I can cast down the thoughts and I can choose to not consider my body like Abraham did. And I can still believe God. And just because my body hurts doesn't mean I can't believe God and believe Him in the face of things. Just because I have a thought doesn't mean I can't believe God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, the margin of my Bible says physical body, this tent, see here Paul calls this body a tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. We have this tent, but we're going to put aside this tent that we live in now. This is our earthly house, but this isn't our eternal house. This isn't the real us. We have an outer man and we have an inner man. Skip down to verse 7. He says, or verse 6, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now, we know that the Spirit of God is always with us because He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. But He's here in spirit. But we're absent from, while we're in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We're not in heaven with Him. The Spirit of God's here, but we're not with Him. He said, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We can't see this, but we take it by faith. The Bible says so. Verse 8, and we are confident, yes, well pleased to be rather absent from the body. Notice this. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body. We're going to be absent from our body. Well, when you're absent from your body's dead. That's what we call death. But like when we looked at the account of Brother Hagin several weeks ago, when he left his body and he died, his heart stopped beating, and he left his body, he started to go, well, first down. Before he was born again, he started to go down towards hell. But he said he could just look up and there was his body. He started to go down, but he still is like, as far as he was concerned, it felt the same. He can look around and whatever, but there's his body laying in the bed. And then we went through the count and he came back up. It wasn't time for him to die yet, but he got born again and then he died again because he was having trouble in his body and he started to go up. But he died And he starts going up, like towards where the roof of the house should be, and there's his body. But he can't articulate anything with his body anymore. He can't speak because his spirit's gone from his body. He can't do anything. The real man's out here. Just like a hand in a glove, that hand slips out, the glove's limp, it's dead. But that hand's in there, it can articulate that body, but the glove is not the hand. The hand's not the glove. The hand's the real deal. The glove's just the covering. Well, this is just the covering. Our inner man's in there, and when we leave and we're absent from this body's done. Nothing to animate it. It says, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You imagine that? That's going to really happen? I mean, we've heard it so many times, but you imagine when we leave this body and we go and see Jesus and see Him face to face. That's really going to happen. And people, many saints have gone on before us, and they're there in the presence of Almighty God. But to walk up, I mean, all these things that we read in the Word are going to happen. We're going to be in the presence, and it's going to be like this. We're going to be like, you know how Paul, we're going to get to this? Paul said he had an experience. I don't know if it was in the body. I know of a man, he was probably talking about himself. I know of a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows, but who went to heaven and experienced things. He didn't know. He couldn't tell because it was real to him. It was like he was is the same way. Do you imagine? I mean, it's just glorious. I just can't imagine how we're going to step out. All these things, eventually we're going to be in heaven and be looking around going, yeah, I remember you and I get to talk to you and in the presence of Almighty God to be there in heaven. It's not going to be far away anymore. We're going to be there, walking the streets of gold. Hallelujah. I mean, it doesn't matter what's going on this earth. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. Worst thing that can happen. I mean, I know you can go through some things that can seem like a long time, but really, I mean, if you die, you're going to be with Jesus. I mean, if somebody were believing God for their healing and died, didn't receive, wasn't on God's part, but somehow just didn't click. Worst case, they're going to die and go home to be with Jesus. That's not so bad. Because like we were saying, every account that I've ever heard of people going to heaven, they did not want to come back. They did not want to come back if they had a choice. And we heard several accounts where people went to heaven and Jesus said, you got to go back. Not your time to come. So-and-so won't let you come. You got to go back. But I don't want to go back. But you have to go back. But I want to stay here. And I've heard of that with people. One man, he was 49 years old, had children. And went to heaven. And Jesus said, no. And this one is the man that was in Brother Hagin's church. And the man got there just about to fall down at Jesus' feet, saw Jesus coming. Was just about to fall down at his feet, and Jesus said, get up, you have to go back. He was like, but get up, you got to go back, go back to the earth. He said, Lord, I don't want to go back. He said, you have to go back. I don't want to go back. You have to go back to the earth. Brother Hagin won't let you come. And this is when he was in a coma, and he came out of a coma. He had children and a wife. He didn't want to come back. Must be pretty good. Because I know, I mean, you know, I had some business affairs to take care of last night, and I was gone, and I had to get there really early. We had some visitors and whatever, you know, plus it was snowing, so I was up early in the morning clearing snow, went in early to make sure I made it on time, and then I didn't get home till late last night, so I was gone from my family all day yesterday, and I missed them, and they missed me, and I wanted to go back to them, and you would think I'd want to go see them if I went to heaven. I'm telling you, account after account, you get there. You don't want to come back. It's not a bad thing. Don't ever feel sorry for somebody that went on to be with the Lord. It's us that has the problem. And I know we know that. It pulls. We miss them. It pulls on our emotions. But really, really, if we're being honest, we're not feeling sorry for them. We're really looking at herself saying, I hurt, I miss them, because they're not missing us. That's the honest truth. They're having a party. They say, they'll get here soon enough. I'm going to enjoy myself. And if we really thought about them, we'd be happy. And we'd say, they're having a grand time. Man, I miss them, but I'll see them soon enough. It's just a few moments. Because what? The Bible said this life is like a vapor. Boom. So what? You know, a year, 1,000 years is like, what, a day? It says in the Word, day like 1,000 years. Well, what would that mean? You know, so 80 years is like, if a day is 1,000, how much is 80 years? I mean, that's like less than 1/10 of a day, so it's like, what, a couple hours? In God's sight, when he says, yeah, it's coming down, he's thinking, now if I told you guys, if I said, you guys go on, I'll meet you in an hour up at Chili's. And then I, you know, if it got to be an hour and you said, well, where's Jim? I mean, what's he doing? What's taking so long? He's not here yet. Well, think about it. That's an hour. That could be 40 years. Somebody's saying, what's taking God so long? God said, it's been 10 minutes. It's been 10. What, you can't wait? Sometimes we get impatient. We got to look at things from his perspective. He's not looking at it like us. When he says, it shall be like this, he's seeing us the way we're going to be. And if it's decades, it's nothing to him. He's saying, yeah, they'll get there. A couple minutes later, we're there in his sight. His plan is sure, and his plan is right on time. It doesn't feel like it sometimes does. Sometimes we feel like, hurry it up already. But he said, it's only been 20 minutes, Jim. Settle down. Hallelujah. Thank God. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 12. I was just quoting this, actually. We'll get to some more stuff concerning this, but we just want to get this thoroughly laid down before we go on. It'll be better when we go on to the next things. If we get this settled in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2 says, I know a man, this is Paul, in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. You can't tell. He can't tell if he had this experience and people think, you know, it's probably him he's talking about, himself. You say, I don't know if it was in the body or out of the body. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. So he couldn't tell. He was caught up into heaven. And Brother Hagin relates the same thing. He said, I know what he was talking about, because when he went through that whole experience, he was going up, he was going down. He couldn't tell when he could tell only in that he could see his body. But other than that, he said, I felt like me. But when I went to say something or went to move my arm, I couldn't, because I wasn't in my body. So it's not going to be so different. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Philippians 1 real quick. Philippians 1, verse 21. This is good, this part. This is encouraging. Philippians 1, verse 21. Everybody there? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Never be afraid of death. Amen? If we get to the... People fear death. But a Christian ought not fear death. If a person is not born again, they ought to fear death. Because that's internal damnation. I mean, they're going to a devil's hell. God did not send them there, but if they're going, and you know, my pastor's wife was in Lincoln, Nebraska when I was there. She was a nurse, and she saw this firsthand. And then she had heard many accounts, and she saw it the same thing. When people were Christians, and they would die. She said many times they would just go, just lay back, and they'd have a smile on their face, or they'd see something, and their eyes would lighten up, and they'd smile, and then they would just go. Just peaceful. But if they were not Christians, when death fastened its final throes on them, they would be gripping the table and fighting it with everything they could, and just a look of terror would be on them. Why? Because there's something coming to get them and to take them to hell. And it is terrifying. You know, from all the accounts we've heard, and you see it time after time, there is a lot to fear if you're not born again. But if we're born again, and we're going to be in a better place, and going to be with God Himself, and to hear the angels sing, things that we've never been able to touch on this earth, the singing that we hear, a recording, an artist, and whatever, people that heard Him said it just pales in comparison. There's nothing to fear. And Paul said, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said, "But if I live on in the flesh," notice, "I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose I cannot tell." Saying, "I haven't decided." Verse 23, "For I am hard pressed between the two." He's having a hard time deciding. He said, "Having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." He wants to go on to be with Jesus. He said, "I'd be out of here." On the other hand, he said, verse 24, "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh," notice that, he's going to remain in the flesh. His inner man is going to remain in the flesh, "is more needful for you." We've said this many times. Why are we here as Christians? Because God's plan isn't finished yet. He has more of the family that needs to come in before this thing's wrapped up. The Bible says the gospel will be preached in all the earth, and then the end will come. What's the holdup? The gospel hasn't been preached everywhere. The Bible said when everybody that's supposed to hear the gospel and needs to hear the gospel and will respond to the gospel hears the gospel, it's done. We'll be out of here. So right now, the reason we're here, otherwise, if we're the family of God, and we're just going to go to be with Him, and that's far better, and that's gain, why don't we just get out of here and forget all these problems, and you know the stuff that comes against us in the world system, and we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we still go through stuff. Why don't we just get out of here and go be with Him? Now. Let's not wait till tomorrow. Let's go now and start the party tonight. And they don't have time there, but hey, let's go. Why? Because God, there's family that would be left behind here. There are people that haven't been able to make the decision yet, that are coming in, and they're precious to God's heart. You know, if you were trying to get out of your house, something was happening, or get out of a building, let's say, you know, it caught on fire, and you have your whole family there, and you're ready to get out, and you leaving, you could save yourself, but a few of your children or your spouse is inside still. Well, if you love them, you're not going to run out. Well, I'm saved. I can get out. I'm leaving. I'm running. No, if you love them at all, you'd say, "Wait, I want to take them with me. I'm not leaving unless you're leaving." Well, that's exactly the same thing. God has precious people here that are in His family, and they're part of our family. And we may not even know them. Our flesh may say, who cares? Your mind, your natural mind may say, "I don't care. Let's get out of here. I don't care. I want to do my own thing in life. I don't care. This makes me happy. I got mine." And God has something for us. And He's saying, but they're precious to me. And if we'll put down our desires and say, wait a minute, you know, God, if they're precious to you, if they're precious to you, you know, all my kids and probably yours too, they've all had some special pet or a blanket or something. Three of them had a special pet. One of them had a blanket. And that was precious to them and still is. You know, the precious animals. And it may look like nothing. And to somebody that didn't know their names, I can say all their names. There's Bunny, Blanky, Chloe, and Rosie. They're precious to my kids, even though they're just a stuffed animal or Blanky or what. But if they're precious to them, if I were to say, well, this is just a stuffed animal, it doesn't mean anything. Well, it's precious to them, though. To me, the only reason it's precious to me is because it's precious to them. And the Father, if He looks at people and said, they're precious to me. Well, if we love Him, and the more we get close to Him, say, God, that they're precious to You. All right, whatever You want to help You. Whatever You want, man, You've done so much for me. Untold, I could never repay You. I can't talk about repaying You. That's an insult to the blood of Jesus. But I can help You get Your stuff done. What would You like me to do? Oh, that person, I can help them. What did Jesus say? If you do this to the least of these, You've done it to Me. Amen. So we're here for a while, but just like Paul, sometimes we just have to say, well, I'd like to get out of here, but God still needs me here. God still needs me to do something. So I'm going to stay and I'm going to finish my work. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. I think that's good. I think we can pick up there next week. Praise God. We're just building an inner picture of our spirit man and what it means to believe God. We're going to go into some things in the next, probably next week, but it'll just be more clear to us. We're building faith into our heart. We're building faith along these lines, and we'll be stronger.